Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. To another episode of Threads of Enlightenment, as usual. I love having our guests to come and present to us because they are coming to deposit wisdom so that you and I will listen here. As you know, I said, those that have ears, let them hear. That means that there is a responsibility upon the hearer to be prepared and ready to listen. And so I'm excited for this particular guest because I cannot wait for all the insight, because I want to be a better individual on this planet. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, and thank you so much for coming by.
Hi, thank you for having me here. So my name is Muriel Felous. I know it's very French, and yes, people may not remember it in 5 minutes. That's okay. Something that is easier to remember is I founded co-parenting with the universe. That's mm-hmm. what people know me as. So that's easier for English-speaking people. Mm-hmm. And I'm here because I raised 3 kids on my own. Mm-hmm. And things became a little bit complicated when they became teenagers. And that's what I wanted to share with your audience, things that helped me, because it ended up spiraling me into depression. So that was quite a journey.
Excellent. So I can't wait for this because, like I mentioned earlier, I was a single dad. So I can't wait to hear some of your adventure that you had alongside your children as they escorted you into the state of depression. So this is going to be an interesting journey to, because I know I visited there for a while. I hung out there for a little while myself. And then I began to make some of the changes. So I'm excited. What we do here is we want to go back and have some conversations before you get there to let us know how you, what took you to that place where you kind of had to deal with all those emotional pieces. Give us some background as to your home, your upbringing, family, that type of thing, so we can get an insight as to how, what type of program that you were exposed to.
So I grew up in France. I'm sure people can hear it. I can't hide it. I graduated high school in France, and then I fell in love with Israel. So I moved to Israel to go to college. Mm-hmm. And so I was infused with a different kind of mentality, different kind of programming, because French people in my time were very, I've been raised to be very proper. Mm-hmm. You don't show too much emotions. You do things by the book. You stay mm-hmm. safe. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my upbringing. Mm-hmm. And I had a very strict father, which later on, became very obvious when I became a mother. I started becoming aware of what I didn't want to reproduce.
Yeah.
I then spent time in Israel, 10 years, where I met my ex-husband who was from California, and he said, I want to go back. I said, why not? So I left. I had one kid, and we left for America. And later on, I moved to Las Vegas, Nevada, where I ended up getting divorced mm-hmm. and raising my kids on my own with no support, no financial, no physical, nothing, because he had his own issues. Mm-hmm. And I was in a position where I had to protect my kids.
Yeah.
emotionally and sometimes physically. So that was very, very difficult.
Wow.
And I think that it contributed to the fact that I ended up everything. So I managed to deal with everything okay until they became teenagers. And you know, you have like a bucket of how much stress you can manage, how many things you can manage. Yeah. And sometimes it gets fuller and fuller. Mm-hmm. And one more thing will make everything overflow.
Yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I got sick with hepatitis B and I was healing mm-hmm. when two of my kids became to be very adventurous with their choices in what they were doing, going to parties, mm-hmm. Started like smoking weed, drinking. That was also when weed became legal in Nevada. So the message for them was like, it's safe. Yeah. We can do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much I could say the opposite, they would not listen to me. And so I had everything. I needed to be everything for them.
Yeah.
And that was very heavy on me. And when they started partying and I became aware that one of them tried something else, they were trying like, you know, party drugs and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I started being like living in anxiety to a point where I would wake up in the middle of the night with those horrible scenarios in my mind, like they're going to fry their brain. I'm going to find them dead mm-hmm. one day.
Yeah.
So talking about programming, I was programming myself 24/7 to live in anxiety.
Wow.
And not realizing, because I'm a very positive person, I think I've been coaching people since I was in high school, because some people say that they found their purpose. My purpose was always following me. All the girls that and boys that were in pain back then when I was a teen came to talk to me for some reason, mm-hmm. and I had a soothing effect. So I was coaching already on the side, mm-hmm. and I knew I was strong, and I didn't see it coming because I am always the positive one. I'm not the one who goes in depression. That was my description of myself, mm-hmm. my identity. Another thing is that when we are too harsh with ourselves and we judge ourselves to a point where we cannot look at what's going on inside, mm-hmm. it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
Because the wake up at night, so that was more and more frequent. And it got to a point where one night I asked for help. And as when you ask, the universe always answers, mm-hmm. sometimes with a kick in the butt, but it will answer. And I woke up in tears and I suddenly realized that I didn't like my life. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was impossible to admit, because what kind of a mother? My kids were healthy.
Yeah.
Everything was quote unquote fine, but I didn't like my life. So to me, it meant I didn't love my kids.
Yeah.
And that's why I was not able to see it before that specific night. Mm. So I sobbed like maybe for an hour, because I finally could admit that and I finally could see the paradox in me. We are walking paradoxes sometimes. Yeah. And that was the beginning of bouncing back up. Because now that you can see what's going on, mm-hmm. you can start healing. If you don't see it, you can't. If you don't feel and you don't see, you can't heal.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So I started applying what I told my clients to do, but multiplied by 10. And it's strengthening my connection with the divine, with the universe, which was already strong, because as I healed from hepatitis B, they told me that I would be on meds all my life. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
Because I know that the body heals. So I was able to let go of having to take medication. So I already had a connection and I was already cultivating that relationship. But I had to invest in it even more.
And develop it. Yeah. I have I read a book and I told the first chapter that I dealt with was self-love. And that chapter, it was based on a principle that my background is Christianity, that the disciples came to Jesus and said, what are the greatest commandments? And he said,
to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind and thy strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And to me, that housed the principle that each and every one of us have to incorporate in our life to, in order to begin our journey of self-enlightenment or self-development. You have to have a relationship, as you said, with the divine, with your divine. And from that relationship, because that divine relationship will teach you who you are. And then as you begin to see who you are, and you can accept that crazy, nutty picture that you have of yourself and learn to love that person, you are on your way. Because if you can accept that person and love that person within, with all of those things that you have built up in your mind as bad and horrific and whatever, then you can turn around and love someone like myself. If I'm going to just say a word that gets you upset a little, you're not going to become as harsh because you've learned to accept yourself and you become a little more empathetic towards people as you relate to yourself. But you have to have your connection with your divine, and you got it. And that's a great awakening, because that's a great place to start.
And when we say love your neighbor as thyself, most people here love your neighbor. I know in my upbringing, if you said I love myself and you were maybe singing a little bit of your praise, that was very arrogant. That was very, that was perceived as being like full of yourself.
Yes.
But that's not what it is at all.
No.
And when you remember who you are part, you are a spark of the divine. So the fact that we were, we entered a human body with areas of shadows and areas of light doesn't change the fact that for me, first, I am a part of the divine. I am a soul. I am energy. I am. So when you remember that, I had to, the next step was, because I was kind of a control freak. I was trying to protect my kids 24/7, thinking that I could protect them when I was not with them. And I'm not God. I'm not the divine. So I had to relinquish that need for control. And that was one of the hardest thing for me. I had to discern, where is my area of power and where is my area of powerlessness? And that area of powerlessness was full of fear, to give it to the divine, to give it to the universe. Because the power that protected me, that healed me, that helped me not die from hepatitis B, because there were two critical days where I could have died. That power is also protecting them. So strengthening my faith that that power was protecting them. And that was not very easy to do, but I, luckily I had tools. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with emotional freedom technique, tapping. Have you heard about tapping?
But I'm not.
So for the audience, it's a technique that will, you use the meridians, that the end of the meridians that they use in acupuncture, and some notions of some elements of psychology. And basically what you're doing is you intercept the stress response in your brain, the stress center, the fight, flight, or freeze center of your brain, when you feel that there is a threat, whether it is for yourself or for your kids. Like, I was imagining them dying or hurting themselves. So my whole body was on alert. And when you are on alert like that, the blood that normally flows into your frontal cortex, the newest brain, the one where you can be coming up with solutions and analyzing and being creative, is detoured. To your limbs, because your body gets ready to fight or flight or run, or, and you can't think properly. So I had first to intervene on my fears before I could relinquish that portion to the divine. And I use tapping. So you tap on the meridians, your nervous systems calm down, and then you can access a thought that will bring you peace instead of turmoil. So I did that, I don't know how many times a day. Every time I woke up in the middle of the night, I was stopping. If somebody was seeing me, I looked a little bit cuckoo, but I used it and I was able to trust that this was taken care of and remember who I was. So both on a brain level and a child of the universe, ask for help. And I kid you not, every time I asked, something came. I had to be really flexible to not attach myself to how it should come. Mm-hmm. To give you an example, my son, when he was 13, I enrolled him with the Big Brothers, Big Sisters organization in the US, which matches an adult with a kid to give them a good role model if they didn't get it in their life. Mm-hmm. And they told me, he's already 13. We don't think we're going to be able to find someone. I said, put him in the database anyway.
Yeah.
2 years later, I didn't hear about them. My son was going through some challenges. He was skipping school, doing teenager stuff, like rebellious teenager. I asked, I said, okay, show me. Do I need to learn something? Do I need to meet someone? Show me the next step. How do I help him? Mm-hmm. 2 hours later, that organization called me and they said, I have a match. Mm. And he was already 15. What were the odds?
Yeah.
And it was the perfect match. He got in contact with a man that had so much in common with us, with our family, so they could understand each other. And it helped him until he was 17 and a half because we moved countries recently. So until then, they were seeing each other and he was mentoring him and being his friend.
Yeah.
So every time you remember who you are, you can create miracles because you connect to the source, mm-hmm. you ask, and you're going to see what's the next step. Right. And I also believe in energy. So I believe we're like taking elevators. Mm-hmm. If you want to see, some people say manifest. I think about it more as aligning. Mm-hmm. Like stopping at a floor of hope, for example. Let's say you are a parent or someone is not doing well in your family. You can't be really positive because the gap is too wide between where you are, let's say in despair or fear and being very positive. You can at least get neutral or get hopeful.
Yeah.
Then you're going to vibrate at that level and you're going to see, on an energy level, you'll be vibrating there. So you'll meet people, things, opportunities, everything that vibrate at the same level of hope. Mm-hmm. And soon you're going to be solid there so you can go higher and higher. And that's true at a brain level because of the part of the brain that matches reality with your beliefs, mm-hmm. The reticular activating system. And that's true on an energy level, the same energy that can, you know, when I was a kid, I was fascinated by opera singers who could shatter a glass mm-hmm. with their voice.
Yeah.
That's vibration too. So that's the same concept. Mm-hmm. So all that I used and bounced back from depression. And I used to coach people on relationships. I decided at that moment, no, I'm going to coach moms. Yeah. I have one dad now, I must say, in my membership. So I'm happy about it. And I shared that. I coached them with that because it's such an amazing resource to have that sense of not being alone.
Yeah.
I have two mantras that I give everyone is I have what it takes, because at the time when I was depressed, I would not kill myself, but I had thoughts of take me, mm-hmm. just send a lightning and just take me. I can't.
Yeah.
So I felt that I didn't have what it takes to deal with what was going on. By the time I decided to embrace the mantra, live by it, I have what it takes. Mm-hmm. And the second one is I'm not alone. With those two things, they were like almost my secret weapon. Mm-hmm. And until even now, when something challenging is occurring, I say, I have what it takes. It's going to be shown to me the how, but I know I have what it takes. And that changed everything.
Yeah, I call it... I call it your statement of faith. And I think most people don't have it. And I see, when I look at people and I see them floating around or drifting, I ask them, what is your statement of faith? What is it that you are holding that is guiding you, that is pushing you, that is making you get up and move from one space to the other? When they don't have, that's why they're going. And each one of us have to have that statement of faith that directs us. And until you find it, I think most people are lost. And it is our hope that as they listen to us, that they, you know, they pick up on this and begin to meditate on what is it that that statement of faith. And I use this because, again, I teach from, I grew up in the Christian faith. And I utilize a lot of the stories and the principles from there. There is this woman, there is a story about a woman who was sick. She spent all her money to try and get healed, and she went broke. And it says that she heard that Jesus was a healer. And she said, all I need to do is touch his hem of his garment. And she takes off and she goes, and they have thousands of people touching him. And she's pushing against the crowd, and she touched the hem. And he stopped and he said, who touched him? And the disciples looked at him and said, are you out of your mind? I mean, there's people all over the place. And he said, no, someone touched me. And so I tell them, it was her statement of faith that she made. She said, I just need to touch his hem. And the statement of faith that she made, it was birth in her situation. So some of us, we don't get it until we get into a situation that we realize that there's no way out of this. I need to come up with something. And it was in that place of desperation that she birthed her statement of faith. It guided her so that she can go against everything. When it's hard, when it's difficult, it didn't matter. It kept her moving. She touched him, and she received what she wanted. And so people don't have their statement of faith. And you have yours. You have two of them. And I have mine that I use it to guide my life. And I tell people, find it quickly, because it'll help you to get to where you need to be. And it'll sustain you when it's hard. So I love to hear you talk about it. It's awesome to hear it. Everyone that I talk to that created something in their life, made a statement of declaration or a statement of faith. It's important. It's important. I cannot stress it.
And I think also we create with our words.
Oh, yeah.
So if you affirm it, mm-hmm. so it is.
Yes. There's a scripture that the Bible says, it says, declare a thing and it shall be established. But the translation is wrong. It doesn't mean declare. It means decide a thing. You have to decide it first before you can declare it. So you have to make this thing a part of you that says, this, like you said, I, you know, when you decided in within yourself and you declared it, it would release power, energy that you're talking about, and cause situation. Yeah. You pull situation, you pull people, you talk about that energy that brings you to this area, and you build your energy. That's what you're calling when you release those words. And they manifest through people because people are energy. So it pulls the people to you. That's my belief, you know?
It does. It does. And I must say that sometimes what I see with clients, with moms, is when they are facing something really, really difficult, mm-hmm. they say it, they don't believe it completely yet. They decided that they want to believe it, mm-hmm. but they're still a little bit shaky. And continue, because it grows stronger. Soon enough, all your cells will shout it. And that's going to be who you are.
Yeah, that's exactly the principle. They said, it says, faith comes, or your belief system is affected as you keep hearing it over and over. It becomes a reality. And so just keep saying it, even if you don't feel it. It will lodge within you, and you will own it one day. You'll wake up and go, boom. And when you speak it, it will pull people to you, like what happened with your son. The principle is ask, and it shall be given. If you don't ask, we don't ask because we still believe we can handle it within our ability. But we ask usually when it's not within our ability. You talked about, I call it compassionate detachment. I had to learn it. I put a fancy terminology to it. But compassionate detachment, meaning I love my kids, but the decisions that they were making were freaking me out. And but I had to learn compassionate detachment to back off and allow them to create their journey. One of the hardest lessons a parent will ever learn.
And to tell you how deep I went into it to learn that lesson is I was so afraid for my kids to die that I had to address that fear. The way I do it is when I have a fear, I go down to the bottom of it.
Yes.
To see that even if something gets the worst that it can be, mm-hmm. I'll still be given the tools.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I am not powerful enough. If I'm meant to lose a kid in this life, I'm not powerful enough. Their soul chose to, let's say, God forbid, die at 20. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stop that. That was their soul's choice or God's choice, depending on what people believe. So there is no point in allocating energy in something that I cannot stop or have an impact on. So I said, okay, instead of feeling it 100 times, like my kid is dead, in my body, because when you think yep. about it, mm-hmm. it creates biochemicals yep. and you're there in your body. If it has to happen, I will feel it then. And the divine will give me the tools to deal with it then.
Yeah.
It has always been given to me when I had to face something, I got the tools. So there is no point in me even thinking about it now. Mm-hmm. And I had to catch myself. That may seem easy when I say it like that, but I was catching myself in the moment. Nope, going there.
That's how you're supposed to
tapping,
do it. Yeah.
Calming the nervous system. I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And soon enough, the fear really went it's very low.
Yeah.
And then I was able to concentrate on becoming who I need to become to have the most powerful impact on my kids.
Yeah.
And when I coach parents, I teach them about what there is on their side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't control anybody, not even our kids.
Yeah.
But the more aligned with your love,
yeah.
the more aligned with your power, the more aligned with your faith, the more aligned with your intelligence you are, the more impactful you're going to be as a parent.
Absolutely.
So that's where I'm working with myself, with parents, in all that, on a brain level, on an energy level, with tools like tapping, with writing, with whatever we need to do in the moment to tap in their own wisdom, because we have the answers. We are connected.
Yeah.
And the answers can come.
The answers are in us, and we need to just be quiet enough to allow it to magnify. You talk about energy, and the human spirit, the human being is energy. They can quantify the amount as it exits the body when one dies. And we pull that energy into our life. Job said, one of the characters in the Bible, says, "The thing that I fear has come upon me." Why? Because that energy he brought into existence in his life. And what was it? He was worried about his kids dying. Guess what? One day all of his kids died. And so, and that was when he said, "The thing that I feared has come upon me." So he pulled that into his life, and it manifested and it became a reality. So it's very, as you said, you do have to catch yourself. You have to control your thoughts. You have to become, I remember reading the book, it says we become godlike in this sense that we are able to control our thoughts, because that is where everything manifests. And that thought, as we begin to magnify it, it becomes an emotional, that is the emotion that deposits in our body and our cells. And if it doesn't go anywhere, it magnifies, it comes, shows up as sicknesses, diseases, fear, and all of those different things that we bring into our lives from not being able to control our thoughts. And you're absolutely right. You have to become a guard of your mind, because that's where it stems. And once you become a guard and an effective guard, then you're able to control those thoughts. You're then able to make decisions and not react. And once you begin yes. to make decisions, then your manifestation happens at a quantum speed once you begin to make your decisions about it. and you stop drifting back and forth. But that's, I mean, you're laying out everything that people need to understand and how to govern their life and to gain victory and create things that they need.
And it's so much more fun.
Isn't
because it is. I just recorded something for moms because, you know, when the teens throw sentences, sometimes they're hurt. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to receive. So I created a tapping video for my members, how to not feel rejected by your teen, because they're not doing that to you. You're doing it to yourself because you're taking it in. Remember who they are. They're kids. They're learning. And it becomes easier and easier. And on you talked about intervening on our thoughts. I have a thing on my website. It's a back to peace kit for moms. Mm-hmm. And one of the tools in that kit is a visualization to detach. You talked about detachment.
Yeah.
To detach from the thought that you go into it in a loop.
Yes.
And see what is the message. What does it tell me about me that I need to change?
Yes.
What is the lesson? And it's just with a lot of self-love and self-compassion, because we're going to go back there.
Yes.
We're never going to say 100% of the time watching our thoughts, doing what we're supposed to do. We get off track and then we have to come back. But the bouncing back is always shorter and shorter and shorter, and it doesn't hurt as much.
Yes, I agree with you.
It's beautiful. I love it.
I love it too. I keep telling people there's no thing more beautiful than getting to know who you are. It is a beautiful journey. It is unexpected. It is hard. It is messy. But it is so beautiful. And it's how you perceive. You have to shift your perception just slightly. The negative thoughts, just switched it. Every situation that you're in, if you change your perspective as to your presence in that situation, it will determine how long you stay in that situation. And so you have to learn how to switch that thing, man.
And the impact that you have, talking about decision, something came to my mind. So I went into that depression and I'm so grateful for it because it made me change to a point to what came after was even more difficult. There was a suicidal attempt in one of my teens.
Wow.
Had I not gone through, like, if I didn't go to that through that depression, I would have been not as well equipped to deal with what came after. Because I remember a moment, a specific moment, where I saw my kid hurting themselves. So they came back from, they stayed a week in a psychiatric hospital after that. They came home and they were self-destructive. And I'm saying they because I don't want to say if it's a boy or girl, I want to their privacy. I don't want to reveal who my kid is. And I saw my kid bump their head into the wall because they had so much anger and suffering that they had to hurt themselves. You know, it was one reaction. And I remember I had this fraction of a second to was like, oh, I felt myself, oh my God, my kid is hurting themselves. And I grabbed myself. I didn't react. It was all internal. And if in a fraction of a second, I said, nope, not going there.
Yeah.
And I didn't go there. I didn't crumble. I stayed strong and I was able to respond instead of react.
Yes.
And that helped them get out of that emotional state and able to calm down. I will always remember that second, moment.
Isn't that second, that split second there is the difference between failure and success. It's like that happened, failure in this sense, where choice and reaction, that's the difference. It's just a split second, and you have to learn techniques, like you said, how to not allow your emotion to take you into that space where you become reactive versus a decision maker. It's that split of a second, and you have to become a student, as I said to people. That's what revelation is to me. You become a student of yourself. That's what enlightenment. You study yourself. You're reacting more, and as you said, you go back and forth, and you veer off, but your time that you stay on the other side is not as long as the other. It's not 5 years, 10 years, 4 years. It is. It comes down to split seconds, you know, where, and you see it, and it becomes so much more exciting, and you have these moments with yourself that is absolutely priceless. That as you begin to get a glimpse as to who you are and how much you're capable of as an individual. It's beautiful.
And I think it's not that now I'm that super guru who doesn't react. I still react to stuff. But I believe that in moments that are crucial, super important, we're guided or we're plugged into something that we're almost super powerful. And that moment I was. And I'm grateful. I'm super grateful for that. That's only beginning of the journey.
Talk to them a little about, encourage someone that is in that space of depression, because a lot of people are there, you know. The onset of the coronavirus and all of the other things, I think we are beginning to see some of the effects of that. It's going to last us for a little while, the mental health piece of it, with adults as well as children, teenagers, it is parents, the healthcare workers. I mean, there's a whole slew of people that within the last couple of years have visited this space of depression. Encourage them about that place being there and the way out. Give them some hope, if you will.
So the first thing that I think we need to remember is that things are temporary. Mm-hmm. It won't always be like that. You don't have to stay there.
Yeah.
And you don't have to make changes in your life that are so drastic that it's super difficult. You need to change your life and live somewhere else. No, it's moment by moment. You choose to breathe. Breathing. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. Yeah. Start breathing in for 6 seconds, out for 6 seconds, and do 10 of those when you don't feel well. Mm-hmm. If you feel that you have an emotion, so I don't know if your podcast, it's audio and video. I don't know.
Audio, right?
But audio. So what I can explain on audio is you have a tapping point that is very powerful. It's the side of the hand between the pinky to your wrist. You take the other hand, like 3 or 4 fingers from the other hand, and you gently tap and you breathe. And you remember, this is temporary. There will be a solution. I open myself to see more solutions. Mm-hmm. I open myself to being able to change just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I open myself to let go of the a percentage of the whatever they're feeling, if it's sadness, if it's despair, anger. And imagine, visualize your breathing with letting go of some of that. Give it a color, because the brain responds really well to symbols and images. Yeah. And reach out. There is so much now online, so many free stuff. You can reach out to me. I have, for Corona, on my YouTube channel, I have several tapping videos on several aspects of the virus, like for people who don't, there was a financial aspect. There were people who felt guilty because they still had a job and others didn't have. I have some tapping videos about the uncertainty that we're living in right now.
Yeah.
Go and find some tools. There are plenty online.
Yeah.
Just Google, because we're guided. Whatever you're supposed to find now, it will land in front of you, but you need to open to that. And don't judge yourself if you were able to improve just a little bit today. If it was even like you felt good for 2 minutes during that day or 5 minutes, it's a beginning.
Yes.
And say thank you and know that you'll do more and more. And really use your brain for yourself instead of against yourself. Become more present.
Yeah.
Become present. Look outside. Say, okay, name things. Bringing yourself back in the present moment. Because when we're in depression, we usually think about stuff that happened or stuff that we can't measure up. We can't overcome. We're powerless or we're guilty, whatever the reason is. Bring yourself back in the moment. Breathe, look outside, look where you are. Like, for example, for me, I could say, there is a tree, there is a building, I have a cat, I have a mic, I'm looking at my screen, and say it out loud, because it will change your physiology in the moment. The brain responds to the body and the body to the brain. It's a two-way communication. So try to impact your thoughts with your body. And if you want to learn about tapping, just come on my website and let's connect. You can listen. I have a podcast where I tap. I have videos. Let's connect. Don't stay alone. Yeah, that's everyone, when it's hard.
Everyone that is listening out there, just come on, you guys, get in touch with her, because our purpose and the purpose of the podcast that I have is so that we can hold on to each other and walk our walk together. And the whole premise behind Threads of Enlightenment is that you are not alone. I have all these guests come in so that you can identify with them, and that you can call them, reach out to them, and that they will be glad to hold your hand and walk with you, because that's what turns them on. It gets them excited to do that. So they would be glad to have your invite. And I encourage each and every one of you that are listening, that are going through something, that needs to learn the techniques, get in touch. And she will take you from one space to the next so that you and I can become better, man. I mean, the whole thing is that you're not in this alone, guys. That's the message that we will give to you. And we as that have gone through, what turns us on is when we look at someone, as they say, when they get it from our conversation. There's nothing more exciting within the human spirit as a teacher that sees that. And so we get excited about that. People call us coaches, they call us whatever. But I just want to say that we are here, and we don't want you to believe or to think that you're not, that you don't have help, and you're, you know, please reach out to any of us. So here you are, you're putting through all this stuff. The kids have taught you much about yourself, because that's what it is. My children have brought me, and because of them, I am a better man. I'm a better, more caring man. I am more empathetic. I am more of a human being. I probably would have done it, but it would have taken me much longer. Because trust me, when you're with your kids and teenagers, ooh, they'll make you grow up really fast they keep coming at you. And I had four boys that was living with me at the time, and they stretched me to a place. It was 14 years old that all of them lost their mind after another.
They're our best teachers.
Oh yeah, every one of them lost their mind. At 14 years old, I kept track of it, and it was back in their 20s when they regained, when they connected, when the mind and their body reconnected, and then we were able to have a better relationship based on that. Because I got a call from my son, my eldest, and he said, "I thought you were a prick." I really thought you were a prick, but he said, "Now that I'm on this side and I am a grown man." Now I'm seeing the value of what you had invested. And there's nothing more exciting to hear that coming from a child that thought you were a prick.
It's so rewarding. And you say all the hard work has landed. It was not one sentence also that helps when you're in pain. It's not in vain. Mm-hmm. It is not in vain. You're growing. Remember, it's not just suffering. There is something behind it.
Yeah.
And teenagers, so they're hard on one side, but on the other side, I look at my son who's 18 now, and I've been looking at them, even when they behave in a way that I didn't like. Let's say he was skipping school.
Mm-hmm.
He was, and two of my kids were like that. They were, the first one was straight A's, you know, very type A. The last two, they're so smart in a way, because they know how to invest the least amount for the highest results.
Yeah.
And even though we don't like that in school, because they don't have the amazing grades. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing aptitude, quality, I don't know how you call it, to have in life.
Yeah.
If it was the stock market, boom, that's what you want. So try to see what can be positive that they are using maybe in a negative way, but will serve them in life. And it will give you hope and you will laugh a lot too.
Yeah, that period of my life when that thought came, because I was concerned about some of the decisions that my children were making, and I woke up one morning with that phrase, compassionate detachment. And I remember when it came to me, I sat down because I used to do a lot of meditation. And I remember just meditating on that phrase for a while, trying to put sense to it as to exactly what it meant. And then my son's decision-making began to manifest all of the results of those decision-making, I began to understand what that meant. It wasn't for them. It was for me to get it and learn to love them regardless of the decisions they made and to embrace them because they as individuals still have to create their path. And even though, I am as a parent looking at that going, that's not the path that I would choose, it's still their path. And I have to be there for when they learn those lessons that decision that they made may not have been profitable for them at that time. And so I had to learn how to disconnect. And it was a hard lesson, but it was a priceless lesson.
It is a hard lesson. It's very hard because we terrorize ourselves with our beliefs of, oh my God, they're going to be struggling with money for the rest of their lives because they don't go to school.
Yeah.
You know, we go from A to Z directly with the worst case scenario. Right. And that's what I had to teach myself not to do. And that's what I teach parents not to do. Don't terrorize yourself. No.
It is a beautiful lesson. It's all about the self. I remember Caesar, I used to watch this show about him training dogs and stuff like that. And he would make this statement. He said, it's not the dog, it's the person. And he spent more time training the person and not the dog. And that's the same thing. When we look at our kids and whatever, the lesson or the impact is for us to train ourselves how to be a better individual, how to be open to more avenues. Because guess what? Your kids are the perfect set of people to help you open up to more avenues. And you have to be willing to take that journey. You really do. If you don't, you will break. It'll break.
You will break. You will damage your kids.
Yeah.
They are the perfect mirror.
Yes.
Because you can see yourself through them, through your reactions, through your fears, through everything. And when you're talking about Cesar Millan, that was his name, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was talking a lot about what energy do you have?
Yeah.
You need to be the alpha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember, so I went to a workshop. I don't remember. I think it was Hay House with Louise Hay or something like that. And I came back. So we did some work on ourselves. And I came back home. And I don't remember what I told my kids that I didn't like that they did, but I didn't scream. I didn't yell.
Yeah.
I was so strong in my energy. My energy was backing up what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to repeat it twice. They all went and did whatever they had to do because you're backed up with your energy, with the whole of who you are. You're on one line. And that's the secret to power. It's to be aligned like that.
Yes. Muriel, I want to thank you for coming here. I mean, we're almost an hour already, and it is so flowing that this conversation that we're having, because it is impactful. Parents need to hear it. Not just parents, people need to hear it, because everything that we talked about is about you looking more to yourself than looking to what's happening outside of you. And once you learn how to master the self, you will master everything around you. And you do that. You mentioned some of the tools that you utilize, the tapping, all of the different things. Some people that are listening and know me, that follow me, know that the thing that I utilize was my meditation. And I tell them meditation is done in many different forms. I just happen to like the classical, but there's thousands of ways to meditate. Don't trap yourself trying to sit down and cross your leg and you're losing your mind. Don't do it. Tapping is another way of meditation. Find what is good for you and do that. And it is peaceful. It is easy. And that breath that we were talking about, I always say to people that breath is the transition from one dimension, the dimension of chaos, into the spiritual dimension. It is that breath, that easy, that quick, that simple, and is peace on the other side. Thank you so much for coming by and sharing all of
that. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. It was very fun, a fun conversation. It went very fast.
I know, didn't it? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.